And that's one that you might really regard as a disaster, the Nakba of racism and denial of civil rights in the South. I got to go. Stay tuned for Peace and Justice. Your host is Chris Nelson today. I'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
What shall we do with the school of torture? Once in Panama and now in Georgia. What shall we do with the school of torture? Early in the morning. Close it up no more to open. Close it up no more to open. Close it up no more to open. Early in the morning. And it's hardly to wake up. We rise, hardly to wake up. We rise, hardly to wake up. We rise, a new day is dawning.
School of the Americas Watch. And it may be a topic that many of you are familiar with. Others of you will have no idea what that's about. However, I have on the line with me Lulu Matute. Lulu is the organizing coordinator for School of the Americas Watch, a nonviolent grassroots movement working to end U.S. militarization and extractive economic investments in the Americas. Lulu is also a Desert Aid emergency medical technician and search and rescue specialist, providing emergency medical services and humanitarian aid to asylum seekers and migrants crossing through naturally treacherous and hyper-militarized U.S.-Mexico border regions. I didn't even start off the show by saying this is the Peace and Justice program. This is Chris. I'm one of your rotating hosts and obviously still rotating, but this is our pledge line is 601-340-KZFR. Please call and support during this show. So Lulu Matute is on the phone with me, and I just wanted to say one more thing here is that the School of the Americas is a U.S. military training institute for Latin American security personnel located in Fort Benning, Georgia. It was renamed the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation in 2001, and it's continued to train assassins and death squad leaders and human rights abusers for dirty work in Latin America ever since its founding in 1946. It's paid for by U.S. taxpayer dollars and has to be reauthorized by Congress each year. Welcome, Lulu Matute, to the Peace and Justice Program.
Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi.
Yes, hi, Chris. Thank you for having me on, and hello to your listeners of the Peace and Justice Program.
Well, it is a big thing for me every year, the School of the Americas Watch, and in recent years, we have gone to the border in Nogales, and we've had workshops, and we've done direct actions, we've had vigils, and it is such a rich experience. And now with COVID, things have had to change quite a bit. And I was wondering if you could, you know, maybe from your perspective, being there in Tucson, I know that the migrant numbers have gone up, that there's the highest ever recorded deaths along the border there. Just give us an overall impression of the border situation in Arizona at this time?
Yeah, Chris. Unfortunately, this is a very stark and brutal, painful truth for the many migrants and asylum seekers who take the treacherous journey through the Sonoran Desert to try to seek refuge, to seek a safe haven, to seek family reunification and stability in their lives. So often we know that migrants and asylum seekers who do risk their lives to attempt this journey come from places, specifically the numbers is showing communities from Central America, from Honduras, from El Salvador, Guatemala. And we know that historically, you mentioned a bit about the history of School of the Americas. And we know that that mass migration, we know that the numbers, the exodus of communities in Central America, there's a direct link to U.S. intervention and U.S. military funds that have flown into Central America to bolster U.S. investments and economic interests that so often profit private companies, private investors, at the expense of local communities, most often indigenous communities and Afro-descendant communities. And we know that to be the case in Honduras. Now, to speak to the numbers at the border, I think there's a very important discrepancy to point out between what Border Patrol projects and shares and what the numbers look like on the ground. One example, and it's a stark example, is migrant deaths in southern Arizona. There is a record of Border Patrol publishing the numbers, but there's a serious discrepancy between the Border Patrol numbers in southern Arizona and the actual numbers coming from the Pima County office and the medical examiner's office. Mm-hmm. And we see this discrepancy of the deaths that are reported and the actual deaths that are accounted by the medical examiner. Unfortunately, this is a very stark reality. It's something that organizations like No More Deaths, organizations like Samaritans, continue to try to address with things like water drops, with direct support. There's a limit of things that they can do within the law. But we also see the systematic criminalization of help, of search and security aid to migrants. And this is all within the context of preventing human suffering. This is within the context of ensuring the survival of folks. This isn't about transporting. This isn't about the criminalization of aiding and abetting. This is solely maintaining life. And we know that that too is criminalized. So something as simple as dropping water in the desert during the summer, and we saw that this summer there were a record number of deaths, unfortunately, and that speaks to the realities, the push factors in Central America and the militarized response of this administration and of Border Patrol.
Well, you know, when you were speaking, I was thinking of the big picture about how the U.S. has undermined the sovereignty of these nations and how they're either oligarchies or straight-up dictatorships just about, and the brutality, like you mentioned, Honduras. And I know that Rashida Tlaib had tried to affect the National Defense Authorization Act this year that would have given $768 billion into our ever-bloated defense budget, $25 billion more than even President Biden requested. But what she wanted to do is prohibit the U.S. from providing capacity-building military aid, including military training and equipment, to El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. What happened with that legislation, and is that still an active campaign?
Yeah, there are pushes just like this proposed legislation. to stop the flow of security aid to Central America. And what we're seeing with the Biden plan towards Central America to address the root causes of mass migration, we're seeing that it's the same investment. It's the very investment that is creating the push factors, security aid being the primary reason, U.S. intervention in this way. That is also the proposition that this administration is making as a solution to mass migration. So it becomes this conundrum where folks like Talib and organizations like Witness for Peace, C-SPAN, School of the Americas Watch, through different legislation that we have been pushing, that including the Bertha Human Rights Act, which has been and continues to be on the floor for votes. We're constantly pushing in every direction, pointing out that the proposed solutions to mass migration are going to continue to cause these damages to the people of Central America. And one of the most concerning pieces that we know is coming up is the Honduran elections, November 28th. And we're asking proactively for U.S. non-intervention in that space, knowing that shortly after elections, which have been fraudulent in recent history, there is an outpush because of the instability. And the U.S. response is to invest in more security when we know historically that more security aid exacerbates the very violent conditions that that are forcing people to flee. Now, we're continuing to push for amendments to prohibit U.S. military training and equipment to Central American military and police forces. There are several legislations that we continue to push, and you can find more about this on soaw.org, and you can sign up for a legislation pieces there and get in contact with your representative. I do want to share this, Chris, with your listeners. Mm-hmm. You mentioned early on these important reunions, these conferences that we've had historically at Fort Benning, but most recently considering the flow of migration at the U.S.-Mexico border. We've moved those conferences to the U.S.-Mexico border. Unfortunately, because of COVID now, we're having to take them online. I do want to invite your listeners to register for our virtual conference happening this November 6th, where they'll be able to hear firsthand from folks who are on the ground working with legislation, pushing for legislation to stop U.S. funding of security forces in Central America. And I wanted to share one panel in particular that I think you're audience might be interested in tuning into. We're going to have a conversation. We're hosting a conversation between Jen Budd, senior patrol agent, previously a senior patrol agent in a U.S. Border Patrol, an intelligence agent, who became a whistleblower and today is a leading immigration rights activist and a Border Patrol accountability activist. And she is actively calling to attention the cruelty, the racism, the violence that is common in Border Patrol. She speaks to the corruption in one of the largest, most well-funded agencies in the federal government. Now, Jen Budd is going to speak to the internal investigations following the killing of unarmed Mexican nationals, asylum seekers, and migrants. And along with this panel, joining Jen Budd is going to be Doña Taide, who is the grandmother of a 16-year-old victim, Jose Antonio, who was killed by Border Patrol. And there was the Border Patrol agent was allowed to walk free, even though the agent fired from the U.S. across the international divide and into Mexican land, killing Jose Antonio with 10 shots. Mm-hmm. Now, the importance of this conversation is that the cases, both Jose Antonio's case and the case of the 15-year-old Sergio Adrián Hernández Huareca, made it to the Supreme Court And it is now the law of the land, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, that no civil lawsuit can be brought against Border Patrol agents for killing nationals, Mexican nationals, or unarmed migrants, undocumented folks, asylum seekers.
That's terrible.
Very alarming.
Yeah. Let me stop you there. On the line with me, I have Lulu Matute. She is the organizing coordinator for School of the Americas Watch. And we're just starting to talk about their upcoming virtual conference for 2021 called Flowers of Resistance. And it'll be a panel series on the 6th. And then there will be a vigil and litany. But you started to talk about Jen Budd and which panel that Jen Budd will be speaking about, as well as the aunt of Jose Antonio Elena Rodriguez. Can you tell us which panel that is, and maybe start from the beginning of the day so people can know what they're lining up for? We want to hear everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks for backing me up there. Now, you can get all this information on SOAW.org. You can visit our homepage, and on our homepage, you can register for the panels. And it's a series of three panels. They're hour-long panels starting at 11 Pacific Standard Time, and they'll go on for about an hour and 10 minutes, and they're consecutive. They're back-to-back. The first panel, which I was mentioning, is going to be a conversation between a former senior Border Patrol agent and intelligence officer, Jen Budd, who today is a leading immigration rights activist and a Border Patrol accountability activist. Jen Budd is calling attention to the corruption within Border Patrol. She's speaking to the very real culture of cruelty and racism and dehumanization of migrants. In conversation with Jen Budd is going the grandmother of Doña Saide, who we love and respect. For the last 9 years, Doña Saide has been working for justice, struggling for justice for her grandson, who was killed by a Border Patrol agent who shot 16 times, 16-year-old boy. He shot 16 times across the U.S.-Mexico borderline from the U.S. into Mexico. 10 of those 16 shots landed on Jose Antonio, killing him. And Doña Saide, his grandmother, his mother, and the Border Patrol Victims Network, the last 9 years have been actively working and fighting for justice.
Yeah.
Now, what we do know is that just last year, the U.S. Supreme Court did hear about Jose Antonio and another 15-year-old victim of Border Patrol violence, a 15-year-old Sergio Adrian, and the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that there could be no civil lawsuits brought against Border Patrol agents for these kind of killings across the border into Mexican land. And part of that was because the agreements that we have under the Constitution do not extend across that line. So this is something that is very alarming. And in this first panel, both Jen Budd and Doña Saide will be in conversation about these laws, also about Border Patrol investigating themselves, and that being a very normal part of Border Patrol, and it's an agency without accountability. So Jen Budd will be speaking to that, and that's happening during our first panel at 11. Our second panel, it's going to be a conversation between Witness for Peace Solidarity Collective and CSPIS. They will be speaking to an analysis of the Biden Central America plan. Good. And earlier you mentioned, you briefly spoke about laws and policies that have been proposed to cut U.S. security funds, which taxpayers are funding. Unfortunately, that security aid in Central America so often exacerbates the socio-political issues in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and we know that they are directly linked historically and currently to mass migration, to the expulsion of people from land. That's in part because of neoliberal policies that that are constantly sweeping, trying to sweep land from people. That's going to be our second panel. Will be the analysis of the Central America plan, which unfortunately we see the conundrum that this administration, like others before it, is proposing more security aid as a way to address the issues of political insecurity, of economic instability. But we know historically that that is the very issue that folks are running from, that folks are seeking asylum from, right, are those very conditions. And finally, our third panel, we're going to have Garifuna, Afro-Indigenous Garifuna leaders from the organization Ofrané, from Honduras, and Indigenous leaders from Colombia, who are going to be speaking about land struggles in their respective homes against these encroaching and militarized powers, these national powers who are seeking to move away and do away with Indigenous communities who are organizing and fighting for autonomy. Mm-hmm. And those are the events for November 6th. Again, I invite Peace and Justice listeners to please visit soaw.org. And on our homepage, you could register to participate in the panels. They're Zoom conferences, so you'll be able to listen and type in questions if you have real-time questions for our panelists. And lastly, in the tradition of School of the Americas Watch, 31 years, this is our 31st annual vigil, Flowers of Resistance, where we're going to be honoring the leaders, the organizers, the martyrs, the folks who have been lost to state violence. We're going to speak their names. We're going to do presentes as we have done for 31 years. Starting at Fort Benning, Georgia, and we're seeing that shifting to the border as of 2016. And because of COVID, we're going to be in virtual space with each other, holding the memory of these leaders, holding the memory of these lives that unfortunately have been lost to state violence. And that vigil is going to be happening on Sunday, November 21st. And we invite your listeners to honor the memory of political and social activists, loved ones, and extended community members whose lives, unfortunately, have been cut short due to state violence. And we are in a collective struggle for peace and justice, and we hope that you can all be there and we can be together in virtual space, honoring the names and the memory of these great leaders who came before us and whose struggle we continue in our respective journey.
Right. Ulu Matute, I really appreciate you closing with talking about the litany. And people who have not been to SOA gatherings in either Fort Benning or along the border in Nogales don't know about these presentes, but they're extremely powerful when the list of those who have been killed and lost goes on and on and on, and you're just... You know, it's heartrending. And, you know, we have to close out, but I did want to give you an opportunity to help me with a quick pledge plea. I imagine that you have a community radio station there in Tucson. True or not true?
There are community radio stations in Tucson. I am currently based in the Bay Area, in the South Bay Area, so not too far from you. We're sharing radio waves here. But dearest of greetings to listeners in Tucson and Chico, at California.
Okay. Yeah, you had a 415 phone number, so maybe I should have put that together. But anyway, we are in the same time zone in terms of with the School of the Americas Watch. So it will be 11 o'clock on November 6th in terms of the panel series, which is so important that we've been talking about. And last minute, what can you say about why people should pledge to support community radio station KZFR right now? Put you on the spot.
Yeah, definitely. These conversations are so important, Chris. It's this very space that we're able to create with one another where we share the work that is happening on the ground. So often, folks who are further away from the border don't necessarily know what's happening But we are connected to different organizations who are in Texas, who are in Arizona, who are on the Mexican side. And we're able to come together because of these audio waves. We're able to connect with each other. So I urge your listeners to please donate and support this amazing program that's able to continue this community and to bridge all these movements, all these solidarity efforts happening. So I appreciate your time and I appreciate your listeners, and I please do encourage you to continue to support this great work so that we can continue the wonderful solidarity work that has gone on for many years and will continue for many more years as we seek peace and justice in the world.
Yes, exactly. Justice for everyone. Thank you, Lulu Matute, for everything you're doing, and I so appreciate SOA Watch, the organization you are organizing for. Take care.
An honor and a pleasure. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right, so if you would like to give, and I hope you do, please call 601-340-KZFR. I was thinking of 601 activists in 340 countries calling KZFR. I don't know how to remember things, so I have to try that. And also, you can go to the KZFR website, kzfr.org, and if it's on your phone, you might have to click on the little box in the corner, go to the Donate tab, and it has the thank you gifts there, and it also gives you a choice of whether you want to be a one-time donor or a monthly donor. Being a monthly donor, even a very small amount, really helps us through the year to be able to be, you know, to have that strength of knowing what our income is going to be. So, but either way, we appreciate any donation, and we hope that you'll be calling us here, 601-340-KZFR. And our pledge drive. And I want to thank our underwriters, too. They're another integral part of what keeps us strong and keeps us being able to provide this kind of programming. The Peace and Social Justice Program is made possible by Chico Natural Foods Cooperative, offering a variety of organic and local produce, organic groceries, and supplements. The co-op has hot food, ready-to-eat sandwiches, and cold brew coffee. The co-op now accepts online orders for curbside pickup. Chico Natural Foods Co-op, open every day on the corner of 8th and Main in downtown Chico. And also want to let you know about Chico Performances, which is presenting David Sedaris on Tuesday, November 2nd in Laxon Auditorium. David Sedaris is one of America's preeminent humor writers. He's beloved for his personal essays, his short stories, and is a master of satire. Tickets are available at 898-6333 or at chicoperformances.com. And I know they have very careful COVID restrictions with being in Laxon now, so you don't have to be too afraid to go out and see David Sedaris. And then I'd like to, because this is Pledge Drive, I'd like to bunch my underwriters. So I'm going to thank some more underwriters right now. I would like to thank the Paradise Community Guilds, fostering community by nurturing creativity, practicing stewardship of nature, and promoting values of sustainability. Paradise Community Guilds invites all people of goodwill and community spirit to help carry out that intent. To get involved, visit paradiseguilds.org. Also on Facebook, and at 762-1490. And Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years in the heart of downtown Chico at 337 Broadway Street, just below the KZFR studios. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purpose per purchase. More information by calling Cotton Party at 893-4923. So I hope that you will be able to join us also. They mentioned here the Walk Wag Woof. So if you go into our
if you're going to the donate page at kzfr.org, you can find out more about Walk, Wag, Woof, which is really fun. One of the many, many fun things that we're doing. Tonight we have Todd Snyder. We're trying to come back after COVID as best we can, but we still have really stringent station protocols, and we're still very much aware of the concerns. I would like to tell you that it is just about noon here. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I also want to add that any opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. It's just our own. And I'm going to... this week, I don't know why I hadn't seen it before, but it is this wonderful little presentation by Michael Tonetti, who is a body worker here in Chico for many, many years. He made this. It's a YouTube video, so it is, you can't see it over it, obviously, but you can hear the song, and this is about... I'm dedicating this to my next guest who hurt her knee. So here we go. And while I get her on the line, Michael Tonetti.
Dive, dive, dive.
Making peace with gravity. Diving through space, get yourself free. Head touch the sky, feet on the earth. Time to think about what your body's worth. Up, down, up, and round and round. Vertebra float when you get the movement down. Head goes first, spine and pelvis trail behind. Arms and legs swing easy. Decompression on your mind. Let it flow. Feel the glow. Decompression on your mind. Making peace with gravity. Expand your web. Increase your chi, got a spine to carry, got a spine to move. Every muscle come to life when you find your groove. Interdependent, connected whole. Impressive lockdown always takes its toll. Looking down below, floating up above. It's easy to do, you open to love. Let it flow, feel the glow. When you open to love. Making peace with gravity. Freedom in your hips, safety in your knee. Every make creates the shape we're in. Every breath we take starts and lies again. Past is gone, future's just a dream. Living in the present, body's more like a stream. Build it up from the ground, sink it from the sky. Freedom in your spine, gonna get your body high.
We have bodies. God, who would have known it? Anyway, I have on the line with me a dear friend. Laurel Yorks is better known as Laurel Avalon to you, the listeners. She was a host here. She produced and co-hosted this show for almost 20 years, interviewing and bringing the voices of such visionaries and activists as Howard Zinn, Richie Havens, Father John Deere, Cindy Sheehan, Charles Eisenstein, Amy Goodman, and many, many, many others to the listeners of this show. She began her radio work with an interest in radio while attending Sacramento State in the late 60s in a work-study position, and has been involved in radio ever since, more or less. Hi, Laurel.
Hi, Chris. So, hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I am good. I just had a great interview with...
oh, my gosh. I've been listening. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I really, it has just really struck me that radio, being an aural, A-U-R-A-L, medium, is so powerful. It can be so powerful. Listening to Lulu Matute... speak about the criminalization of people who provide food and water in the desert for other people, who save lives, the criminalization of saving lives. It struck me how powerful this medium can be, how powerful radio can be, and how powerful KZFR often is. And then listening to Dan speak from his heart, about, you know, the evil of white supremacy. And it's just amazing to have these moments on KZFR Community Radio. And I'm very moved, very moved. It reminded me, too, of, speaking of aural, you know, A-U-R-A-L, listening, just listening. You can listen, and you can be moved, and you can also be motivated to act. I remembered ProPublica, which is an organization, a public interest organization. They have a division of ProPublica, which is called Vox, V-O-X. Voice in Latin. And in 2018, ProPublica single-handedly changed the discourse on the treatment of immigrants at the border during Trump's family separation program, which was basically premised on cruelty as a deterrent to entering the U.S. ProPublica distributed audio. They were able to get inside the immigrant detention facilities. They distributed audio of the children who had been separated, and including, and my heart just broke. It was a six-year-old girl who kept pleading with the agents to please call her aunt. And she memorized the number. She's 6 years old, and she memorized the number. And please, please call. Please, please call. The day after, people hit the streets. Even here in Chico, we were out there on 20th Street and Martin Luther King Boulevard. People just showed up. It's that powerful. It's that powerful what we have here. Community radio, I just can't say enough about it. It's... doing a program like you do, Chris, is really difficult. I know it is, because I did it for so long. Yeah. I have to just praise you for the people that you get on the program, for the programming that you do. It's so difficult because it's nerve-wracking, isn't it, to wonder if your guest is actually, if you got the right number, if the guest is going to remember that you're going to call them at a certain time, and you hope they're going to be there. And you're trying to jumble the time, you know, to figure out how much time to give particular guests and so forth. And I know it's a lot of work, but, you know, it really is worth it. It really is. And thank you for the programming that you did at the beginning of your program today with Lulu. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I'm hoping that listeners will also care about public affairs programming. A lot of KZFR's programming is musical, and I respect that. It's wonderful to have all the different genres of music. But it's also very important that we continue to try to educate our population about what's going on in our world. I listen to other news and information programming that is local, and a lot of times it's not geared toward any kind of activism. It's not geared to, you know, what can I do about this? And so you end up feeling very disempowered and depressed, and, you know, that might happen on this show too, I don't know, but I do believe that, you know, we have a conference to go to. You know, we have things to do. They're going to put us to work. And, you know, sometimes if you're motivated, if it touches you, you will be the next person to step up and make a difference. And it can be any of us, you know. You never know where the leadership is going to come from or the quote-unquote rank and file. Everybody has a role to play, and that's what we find here. And so I'd like people to call and support community radio. You can support later on your favorite music shows too, and any time you want to call is fine. But right now would be the best time for showing the station management that you care about public affairs programming. So it's 601-340-KZFR. So 601 human rights defenders in 340 congressional districts.
Countries.
KZFR.
KZFR.
Yeah, I know.
601-340-5937. You know, I have a hard time with like words or letters instead of numbers at the end. I always have to look it up on the on the phone. So it's 601-340-5937.
5937. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that they're doing Venmo too during the pledge drive, which is a new thing. You might want to mention that.
I didn't write it down.
Folks who want to Venmo, it's very simple, very easy to do. You can just Venmo at KZFR 901. I don't do Venmo. I tried it once and it wasn't my cup of tea. I do something, I do a different kind of program, and I can't even remember the name of it, but I know a lot of people do Venmo. So that's at KZFR 901. You could mail it too. You could mail your contribution to 341 Broadway, Suite 411, 95926. But really, if you could just call, please call and support the work that Chris is doing on this program and has been doing, and also the work that Robert Jones does as one of the alternating hosts of KZFR. And Corey, I hear Corey is going to be coming back soon. Is that right?
That's right. Corey Hampon took a leave, and he will be back the show after Thanksgiving, the Friday after Thanksgiving. So I'm really looking forward to that. He has the best radio voice. He does the smoothest interviews. He has the biggest heart. So, yeah, really looking forward to having Corey back.
And Pastor Jesse has a program of his own now. Also a former co-host at the Peace and Justice program.
Right.
So how exciting for him and for the listeners. I did catch a little bit of it the first show. Didn't really understand why he was on the air at that time. I believe it's on Wednesday evening, but I'm not sure. You can always look up the programs online at kzfr.org if you have any questions. There are a lot of public affairs programmers. You're absolutely right, Chris. It's many of the programs. Any one of the programs really has the capacity to inspire and motivate and activate people, activate the listeners to take an action, to pick up, you know, a pen and write a letter to the editor, write a letter to political leaders. We've got, for example, Ecotopia on Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Your local link to a global network of both of folks who know and care about the health of our planet. That's the little promo that Ecotopia does, and very good programming there. We've got we have a programming. Most of this programming, what it has in common is that it's real people. It's people from our community. They're actually in the studio. They're actually there. They're live. They are your neighbors. They live next to you. You may even know them, a lot of them. And that's what's different about community radio. Community radio is worldwide. It's a global phenomenon. And it speaks to your community and speaks from your community. It's your community dialogue is community radio. And we're so lucky to have KZFR Community Radio here.
And most of the radio stations in our broadcast area are owned by ginormous corporations.
Yes.
Like five of the top radio stations in terms of listenership are owned by one company. You know, they don't have any. They might have a host that's chipper, but they don't have any really local presence. And I also want to support other community, you know, right now, since COVID, it's been really hard on, like, the Chico News and Review.
Oh, yeah.
And also we have an online journal called Chico Soul. So I think it's important for people who care about getting the truth, getting the important information, to support all community media that is, I hate to say it, alternative, because it's not alternative. It should be mainstream, but unfortunately the mainstream is caught up with Well, who owns the Enterprise Record? Sinclair Broadcasting or some conservative organization? I don't know.
Yeah. I wanted to, I know we're kind of running out of time here. I wanted to give an extra special shout out to Chico Soul. They are, I cannot stress enough what great groundbreaking works they're doing. Dave Waddell's one of the writers there. He has captured top honors for in-depth reporting category, in that category. And it's the California News Publishers Association. So he has basically won first place for a series of stories on law enforcement killings in Butte County. Absolutely spot-on reporting. Just amazing,
excellent,
touching reporting, but also thorough. You know, goes into it.
Right.
Move by move. Here's what happened according to the police. Here's what happened according to witness. I mean, it's just absolutely breathtaking reporting that Chico Soul has been doing. And they've been winning. The editor, Leslie Layton, has won second place. She was the second place winner the same year, I believe, that Dave Waddell captured the top spot. I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
Just good, good reporting going on. And I don't know that people know about them. It's Chico Soul, C-H-I-C-O-S-O-L. Chico Soul, they're online. It's an online written reporting, written media. Written media is good, too.
Let me stop you there.
So is Aurel.
So Laurel with the Aurel in the middle. I have to let you go, but I do want to have you say the numbers again. Can you remember them?
Can I remember them? 640 activists in 340 countries.
601.
Oh, no. Whoop.
I'll try it.
Okay.
Sick, because I have it written down.
Let's see. Let's figure this out. 601. No, I can't remember the numbers.
601-340-KZFR. Thank you.
Or 601-340-5937.
You and I make such a great team. Anyway, love
call,
you.
Please call and support the great work that Chris and Robert and Corey and all of the co-hosts on Peace and Justice have been working and striving to bring you this great information and motivating information, hopefully, on KZFR.
Thanks, Laurel. Thanks very much. I'm going to go now to a song by Jim Brobeck. Love you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Singing a song about what was going on a week ago, and now let's just hope La Nina doesn't get us continuing in drought. But I have on the line with me the executive director of Butte Environmental Council. Her name is Caitlin Dalby, and she grew up in the Lake Almanor Basin near Lassen Volcanic National Park. She's an outdoor enthusiast. She's a national park geek. She completed her master's degree in land resources and environmental science in 2019 while teaching science full-time in Chico. She brings 12 years of science teaching experience, much of which was spent in environmental ed and stewardship in the Feather River watershed and Little Chico Creek. Her diverse background ranges from fisheries and recreation work with the United States Forest Service to researching California mountain lion population genetics while earning her bachelor's in biotechnology at UC Davis. Her passion lies in forest and watershed management and stewardship with a holistic philosophy of sustainable best practices. She was recently elected to the Chico Unified School District's Board of Trustees and envisions a bright and green future for our youngest generations. And as I said, she is the executive director at BEC, our environmental organization that goes back to, recycling quite a long time ago. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Chris.
You have
Thanks for the intro.
Yeah, I was really impressed. When you sent that to me, I went, whoa, wow, Caitlin. You know, because I have just seen you with a toddler, and of course, having a toddler reduces us all to, you know, pretty focused motherhood. And being a scientist at the same time is like another level. I wanted to get caught up with you a little bit about the climate action plan for the city of Chico. And, you know, we don't mean to be Chico-centric here on the Peace and Justice Program, but what is happening in our community is important because we're going into really serious times now. This drought shows us exactly what we have to lose, and we need to do greenhouse gas reductions. So tell us about what's been happening in Chico most recently.
Luckily, the Climate Action Plan was just approved this past city council meeting, so that was a big win for the environmental community and really the whole community of Chico. I think a little bit of what's happening is this view of climate and climate change and the things we need to do to mitigate the climate crisis is often portrayed at the global scale, and the things that we are, you know, tasked to do to be part of the movement to mitigate those effects sometimes seems uncomfortable and like so minuscule. How am I as an individual supposed to make a global impact? Mm-hmm. And so I think that a lot of our purpose is to meet people where they're at and empower the community to say, what we can do here makes a difference here, and it is a drop in the bucket to the global scale, and if we all do that, we will all, you know, move forward in a progressive way and be able to reverse some of these changes.
Yeah, I was a little dismayed by our vice mayor, Sean Morgan, said that we should remove the word sustainability from the lexicon of Chico business. And so it has been kind of nip and tuck, and I'm really appreciative for those who stepped up and spoke out and managed to get this plan passed. It's so important that we get to the state guidelines of carbon neutrality by 2045. Do you want to say anything more about that, Caitlin?
So you mentioned the sustainability piece, and I think it's really important for everybody to know, those who are listening and those who are in tune with the environmental movement and those who may still be, you know, on the fringe just trying to figure it all out, that sustainability is something that the city of Chico and our region has been focused on for a really long time. It's mm-hmm. not a new thing. It's not a new term. And if you want to give the analogy of a business wouldn't say that they don't want to be sustainable. It doesn't make any sense. So I think in any system, when you're running a system, you need it to be sustainable and effective and efficient. And so I think that it's important to remember that the roots of Chico really have always been sustainability focused. We are the city of trees, for example, and that's not easy to come by. Striking the word sustainability is a moot point because it's something that we've been, you know, driving towards for a very long time here in Chico.
And can you tell us a little bit about your own work with BEC? I'm sorry to give you such a limited amount of time, but I do want to hear about your organization and what you're doing.
Great, yeah. You mentioned BEC started in recycling, which is totally true, 46 years ago. Since then, it's really been a grassroots organization run by people of all ages, mostly fueled by volunteer work. And we have all kinds of programs going on right now. Our mission is to protect the region's land, air, and water through advocacy, action, and education. I truncated that a bit, but that's the bottom line. And in education, we still have our recycling and rubbish education program going, which brings the four R's, reduce, recycle, reuse, and rot, which is composting, to K-12 classrooms and to community events. We just started a new education program called CAPE. It's Community Air Protection Education, which delivers information about regional air pollution, its causes and effects on humans and the environment, ways to mitigate air pollution and protect ourselves and curb greenhouse gas emissions. Similar to RARE, it goes into that those workshops are in classrooms as well as community events. So it's really for all ages. We're also anticipating starting a new program in January that we're super excited about, which is a certification course called UC Climate Stewards. It's a sister program to the California Naturalist Certification Program. And that will be regional. We'll be the organization northmost of California offering it for anybody in the region who will want to go through that.
When is that again? One more time.
We're aiming for a January launch. It will be dependent on how much interest there is up front. Our goal is to have at least 10 registrations our first go around, and hopefully be able to get some momentum there. So it will launch in January as long as we have at least 10 signups. But it will be a 10-week program where folks will get to learn the ins and outs of climate change, but also really what we can do to get out in the community and mitigate those impacts and do a project. So it's a project-based certification program.
No, that sounds great.
Yeah, we're really excited.
So I only had you for this short time, and I apologize. Maybe I can get you back in January. But can you tell us why you support community radio?
Absolutely. So I know you all are doing your drive. We support community radio because it helps us be connected and in tune with what's important to us all, whether it's Becht planting trees, doing cleanups, the latest environmental issues, the music festival, etc. KZFR gives its audience quality programming that keeps us all connected. We're really excited to always be in partnership with KZFR because we're stronger together and our future depends on it.
Well, I thank you for that because I do believe it's true, and I'd love it if our listeners would call 601, so that would be 601 environmental activists in 340 regions of the country calling KZFR at 1-601-340-KZFR-5937, or go to the website kzfr.org. I'm going to give you a last word since I crimped you so badly on this time.
Great, thanks. There's so much more to say about Beck and the good work that the folks here are doing. And I would just ask that people maybe go to our website to find out more about our events, our other community programs like our urban forest program, forums, etc., that we have coming up in the next month. So it's www.becknet.org, which is BEC for Butte Environmental Council, net.org.
Thank you, Caitlin Dalby. Thank you for being the executive director and leading us into the future with the Butte Environmental Council. I appreciate you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Chris, and thanks for having me today.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so we are almost at 12:30. I have packed in the guests here on the show because it's our pledge drive, and I just wanted to keep it moving really quickly and give you lots of opportunities to call. But I do want to just take a second here to just give you a reflection. A reflection I actually had to write down because my reflections are like the wind and they go away really quickly. But, you know, this has been kind of a heavy time, and I just wanted to say that we've been carrying forward the voices of peace and justice since 1991 through Bush, Obama, Trump, and now Biden administrations. That war in Afghanistan had its seeds in 1991 when Operation Desert Shield was 500,000 U.S. troops were deployed to Saudi Arabia near Islamic holy sites, which was what radicalized Osama bin Laden, we're told. And that painful arc has now ended in human rights catastrophe after 20 years of death, damage, and cost. Meanwhile, the military presence in Iraq remains at 2,500, and we remember the carnage there after the death of General Colin Powell this week. We remember his speech in 2003 that launched the Iraq War. And throughout all those failed years of the Iraq War, we brought you guests decrying the acts of the Bush-Cheney administration. And then, after limited drone assassinations under Bush, Obama ramped up drone killings throughout Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen with approximately 1,878 drone strikes, according to the BBC. We brought you anti-drone activists throughout those years. Under Trump, there was wide-scale Islamophobia and immigrant bashing. We brought you the voices of those who opposed Trump policies and stood for the nonviolent intersectional future we envision. Now, under Biden, the struggle for peace and justice continues at all levels, and the Peace and Justice Program continues to bring you the varied voices of peace and justice activists. We need your support to keep KZFR strong in order to bring you new hosts, new guests, more voices onto our airways. It's a partnership, and your help is needed. So KZFR.org, click on the donate button, and or call 601-340-KZFR-5937. I'm going to get our next guest on the line. This is, a friend of hers who passed in this last year, and she's very wonderful. This is Ann Feeney. Except Ann Feeney doesn't want to play, so let's do this. Oh dear, that is Ann Feeney. I got her. Just wasn't the song I picked, but oh well. I have on the line with me another old friend, and I'm very happy to say that I have some old friends. And this, of course, is one of the very important ones. So I have on the line with me Darian DeLue, and she draws her strength and support from her activist work in the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, which the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has been, I think, the oldest peace organization in the United States. It's been around since 1915, and it started up because of the specter of World War I. She has been active with WILF for 30 years. Outside of her, and I'm always going to say WILF, so that's Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Besides her work at WILF, Darian uses leisure time to sing and write political and labor songs for gardening and being in nature and in other peace and justice organizing, including as a Latin America solidarity activist. She speaks multiple languages and has traveled extensively in Latin America, North Africa, West Africa, the Middle East, many parts of Asia, and all of Europe. She considers herself fortunate to have over 40 years of participation in and education from many of the political movements that have often found innovative expression in California, such as nonviolent direct action, feminist process, ecological activism, and the ending of nuclear weapons and power. She agrees
To paraphrase Noam Chomsky, since privilege confers responsibility, the question always arises as to how one is using that responsibility. Welcome to KZFR, Darian DeLue. Hi.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be on a community radio station that helps to break the limitations of the corporate media.
Yes, and that is the key of all of this. You know, when Eric Mathiesen started this station, we would give him some money and just kind of go, "Oh, this guy's nuts," you know, and, you know, because how could one person do it? But he did it, and here we are, all these many years later. 32 years later, and you know, we're as strong as ever. We've been through a lot. You know, this COVID has been very difficult for the station, you know, because we can't have guests in the studio, lots of things like that. And a lot of our shows did rely on, like, live music. But at any rate, we are strong, and we're strong because of the listeners. We're strong because of our community. And I think I'll say it here, just since I'm going to say it a lot today. The number here is 601-340-KZFR, or go to the website, kzfr.org. Darian, tell us a little bit about this organization that you are the U.S. president for. I'm really always amazed at the fact that this is such a huge international organization, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
Well, I first want to clarify that WILF is the world's oldest women's peace organization.
Okay.
And I have to say that because I believe the War Resisters League in the U.S. was founded about the same year as WILF.
Okay.
So war resistance has a proud and long history in the United States and in the world, and WILF is a peace and justice organization. We are committed to major goals, namely the ending of war and all causes of war. So that's a very big order and something that I anticipate will continue to keep us occupied for many years, because there are so many causes of war.
Yeah, there are. And unfortunately, the profit motive seems to be winning the war for war. Unfortunately, I don't see how this is all going to play out. But I do believe that without peace organizations, without that constant pressure to rein in the excesses of colonialism, or whatever you call it, imperialism, and we would have been lost long ago.
Yes, we have been really focused in the last while on the effects of what is widely called the white supremacy culture, and more accurately called the white male Christian supremacy culture. And this is not to say anything against whites or males or Christians. However, supremacy by any one group implies oppression and hierarchy over other groups. Yeah. So we are supporting equity, justice, and fairness for all.
On your website, it says that the antidote is feminism. Why is feminism so important?
We see that the values that women as a whole have, and particularly as what we consider to be feminism, are values for caring for families, for children, for health in the home and in the society. There's a tendency in contemporary cultures, in the existing governments in the world, to value power, dominance, control, and economic success above any other considerations for what creates a life of value.
Mm. Yeah, you know, you say that with such clarity, and, you know, it brings to mind that you go back in this community, you led our anti-nuclear work and during the Reagan administration here locally, and one of the people who you were side by side with
was with your brother, and he has passed now, and one of his big concerns was about nuclear power, and we have such a short segment. I just wanted you to be able to honor Dirk by talking about his concerns, because right now we were just talking about the Chico Action Plan, which is all a lot of the first things on there about electrification. So there's going to be a lot of pressure for bringing nuclear back. And I was wondering if we could shift from talking about Wilf to talking about nuclear power and why you have concerns about it.
Thank you for this opportunity. I want to just start out by emphasizing that electrification is a very important step for avoiding climate catastrophe. At the same time, we cannot expect to shift our high consumption lifestyles simply by shifting everything over to electricity. There just aren't enough power resources to put the whole consumerist lifestyle into that model. Some people are seeking to do so through nuclear power without really paying attention to the enormous energy costs and greenhouse gas costs of constructing nuclear plants. I was just looking up some of the information, which decades ago, my brother did the same. Dirk DeLew attended fora in the Chico area when the nuclear power industry wanted to build plants, and he would go argument to argument, standing up to them and presenting information. For example, carbon dioxide emissions from cement production are from fossil resources, that is, mineral and energy resources. So we see those emissions, the CO2 emissions from production of cement, are three times the emissions produced by aviation. Now, if one has been following the story of fossil fuels, we can replace many of the fossil fuels used for automobiles and trains, for things that travel and can be refueled through electricity. Aviation is a challenge and produces an enormous amount of emissions, and it's hard to power a plane with electricity. They're still trying to figure out how to handle things. But cement production, three times the emissions of aviation. And one nuclear plant requires enormous quantities of concrete. Cement construction in general is a huge issue, and of course cement is not used only in nuclear power plants, but tons and tons of cement are needed. And to produce, well, I don't want to overwhelm people with statistics, and so maybe I should leave it at that. But I can tell you more.
Well, I think also the whole idea of decommissioning has been a huge problem throughout the United States. There's no place to decommission nuclear nuclear waste, and it's a problem for the. It just is a problem that has not been solved throughout these many years. I wanted to give you an opportunity to. You're such a good talker. Darian DeLew is with me now here on the Peace and Justice Show. We're in Pledge Drive, and Darian is just colossal at everything she does. So I wanted her to be able to say why she supports community radio. Could you please, Darian, say your pitch?
Well, my pleasure. Thank you. In the U.S. today, people have such limited sources of information, even though the capacity of the Internet should be to give people a wide range of information, yet over half of the public has as their only source of information Fox News. Fox News, like other corporate news sources, is a corporate news source. They are funded by corporations which have their own agendas, which tend to be for profit. We have seen what happens with the corporate agenda in the petrochemical industry. They have suppressed the kinds of information that were available in the 1970s about the effects of hydrocarbons on climate change.
Right.
We depend on community radio. Please support community radio to be able to have access to a wider range of information, and not just information on some obscure website, but coming to you in your home while you wash the dishes. Community radio is so valuable and brings a particular local focus and interpretation to information. It's not all coming from some station somewhere in Texas or some standardized corporate outfit like what used to be called Clear Channel, and I think they changed their name, but they controlled hundreds of radio stations and had the same programming going out everywhere in the country with no time for any local events, information, or news.
And that is so true. So, folks, please call 601-340-KZFR-5937. Again, that is 601 peace activists in 340 locales. I give out the wrong number. 340 locales, all voting for KZFR to get enough money to sustain it for the next year with your generous support. So we need you. 601-340-KZFR or the website kzfr.org. Darren DeLue, last words. I appreciate you so much, and I know that this is a limited amount of time because you know everything about just about everything, and I should give you hours to talk on radio.
And I could dig myself into a hole. But do I have time to share a verse of my global warming song?
Oh, please do.
Okay. We don't have more time. So this is from the perspective of the well-to-do. Some say that burning carbon does it. Well, I've paid a lot to drive my car. A rise of the ocean could cause some commotion, but I haven't seen the proof so far. So why should I change the way I'm living? Yeah, flooding and drought can be a pain, but when you've got moolah, not much happens to ya. I hate it when people complain.
Thank you, Darren DeLue, for that wonderful song. And I think Richard, My Fair Lady, Rodgers and Hammerstein would be very proud of you.
Thank you, and thank you for what you are doing and what KZFR is doing.
Yeah, thank you. Peace to you. Bye, Darian.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we are on to our next guest, our last guest of the Peace and Justice Program, and another local activist who is doing incredible work. And I just can't tell you how much I admire this person. And just like all of my guests, they are doing the work and telling you about it here at your community radio station. And it doesn't mean you have to be the one, but if you can support, that could be how you do it. So let me get her on the line. I'm going to go to another song, and this was from a CD that was made for our friend Dan Everhart after he passed, so I'm not really sure of whose song it is. I apologize for that. Here you go. I
think that is probably Steve Earle. So this is Chris. The show is called Peace and Justice. We have one more guest with us for, unfortunately, too short of a time. But I have on the line with me Cicely Sherry. She is with Chico Friends of the Street. She does a community coffee hour in protest against the effective banishment of homeless individuals from the center of town through deprivation of services, most notably the closure of the Jesus Center on Park Avenue. They gather on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 9 a.m. to visibly occupy the public space to affirm homeless individuals' right to exist in such space. They provide sustenance and material support to affirm homeless individuals' right to survive. They stand against homeless criminalization laws and all forms of coercive deprivation. Cicely is a local activist and was out there serving coffee at 9 a.m. this morning when I brought some not very well received cookies. Hi, Cicely.
I think they were pretty well received.
Well,
they were definitely gone after a short while.
Yeah, somebody looked at me like, why do you make cookies with buckwheat flour? Anyway, that's another story. We don't want to dwell there, but I do want to talk about Chico Friends of the Street. You have carved out an important niche in the community because you're super visible, and the city and you and Patrick Newman are, especially Patrick, gets up at city council meetings and really is articulate about these issues of human rights. And I was wondering if you could, for our audience, describe the issues that Chico Friends of the Street talks about on the website, where there are some core beliefs about unhoused people that I think are really important for our listeners.
Well, we fundamentally believe that every individual has the right to exist in public, and with special attention paid to homeless individuals because they have no other option but to be in public. We believe that they have the right to rest. It's involuntary. It's life-sustaining. And if the public space is the only option for them, then they need to be allowed to do that there.
Right. Yeah, and you also probably can use help with what you're doing. I felt a little bad leaving. There was one other volunteer there, but you had a line of individuals. There was at least 20 people there who looked like they had been out in the rain all night. They looked pretty like they had a kind of a hard night. What were your findings today and usually as you do this three times a week?
Well, it's, as you said, about 20 people at a time, usually about 30 people total throughout the hour that we're there. And yes, they did have a very rough night last night. Most of the people that we serve do stay in the plaza where there's tree cover, but not really any sort of real shelter.
Yeah. And, you know, it might be premature to ask you what you think about the city's plans, but they have sent out an RFA for using the BMX area for a very condensed park for unhoused people. And I know prior to this that there were a lot of concerns about consolidating people and people losing their rights. Can you address that at all?
We definitely stand against any sort of coercion. If a shelter is going to be made, it needs to be completely voluntary. So the deprivation that we talked about before can't be present. It needs to be a place where people actually want to go. I'm happy that they're talking about building pallet shelters. That's certainly a lot more suitable than a tent, given that they can be climate controlled. However, the consolidation human rights issue is at stake. It's got to be a choice.
Yeah, very important. So I'm sorry I don't have more time to talk to you more. I was wondering, since this is our pledge drive, if you wanted to say anything about community radio. I know that your colleague Patrick is often a guest on the Peace and Justice program, and you've also been on before. Do you how do you value community radio in terms of linking our community together and having that openness of viewpoints?
Well, it seems like community radio is the only place where you can get the real raw story from people on the ground. So I really value it for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I want to give you last words because I think you, I can't imagine how you're paying for all that. And I want you to be able to just ask for money if you want. I mean, I'm supposed to be asking for money, but I think you need it too. Go ahead.
Yeah, we certainly do need money. The coffee and the muffins alone cost about $500 a month so far. And then, of course, other people bring whatever they can. But yes, we have a Facebook page, Community Coffee Hour, and there are some areas to donate there if you want. But the best thing you could do is show up and occupy space with us and hand out whatever you can and get to know people down on the street.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Okay, I should let you go. I've been talking to Sister Sherry. She is on the plaza here in Chico at 9 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And can you tell us, is still Sunday at noon? Is that correct?
Correct, on Sunday at noon.
Okay, so in both of these cases, you can bring homemade items and seems like pretty soon we're going to need more warm food, but if you can contribute financially, that would be great too. And also contribute to your community radio station at 601-340-KZFR. Thank you, Sistery.
Thank you, Chris.
All right.
A great day.
You too. Bye. All right, so we're winding down. Playing Dead is be up next with Ray Lager. And just a second, I want to put on my mask. Hang on. Getting a mask on with headphones is always tricky, folks. You should try it sometime. All right, so I'm going to wind down with one more appeal here that I wrote up. If I get my headphones back on my head. Okay, so, oh, I know. I had another appeal for you first. It's important. There is now showers for people, and showering, I don't know, being dirty is just a difficult thing for people, and you can't get a job. You can't go in or any place if you've been having had a shower for weeks and weeks and weeks. And so North State Shelter Team has made a shower trailer. They've done it from scratch. And they're in Lost Park right now until noon, or I guess it's past noon now. But anyway, they're there every Friday from 10 to noon. And if you can help, they have a lot of needs. So you would find out about them from Charles Withhune. His number is 518-1417 or cswithuhn@yahoo.com. And I'm going to have to go. Won't make one more appeal, but you still have 3 minutes left to get hold of us here at KZFR, and we'd sure appreciate it. And I would like to do the community calendar. If maybe Ray could type in the login for me here, that would be helpful. What happens with the computers if you don't touch them for a while? They go to sleep on you, and then you have to retype it in. So I'd like to thank all of you KZFR supporters. I haven't been able to look if who gave or anything, but if you gave during this show, I really appreciate it. I want to tell you how much I really appreciate it. But I also want to thank Quicksilver Courier Service. Established in 2010, Quicksilver Courier Service has the flexibility to provide a broad range of delivery services for private individuals, as well as for legal, medical, and business professionals. Visit ChicoCourier.com for quality 24/7 delivery service, and Square Deal Mattress Factory, building the best night's sleep since 1920. Square Deal is celebrating over 100 years of making mattresses, bedding, furniture, and now face masks with the fabric of your choice right here in Chico. Square Deal is located at 1354 Humboldt Avenue. For details, see SquareDealMattress.com. And let's go ahead to the community calendar so that Playing Dead can start on time and you guys can kick back and have a lovely, lovely Friday afternoon and with more rain on the way.
Hey, listeners, it's time for the KZFR 90.1 FM Community Calendar with me, Megan Hammer. This Friday, October 22nd, KZFR is holding the Todd Snyder Concert. It will be at the luxurious Paradise Performing Arts Center. Todd Snyder is performing songs from his new album, and the concert features Lily Winwood. The show starts at 7:30 p.m. Buy your tickets on kzfr.org. The next concert hosted by KZFR will be on Halloween with the Low Flying Birds, Smokey the Groove, and Blue Egyptian at the Chico Women's Club on October 31st. Concert and ticket information coming soon. If you have an event you'd like on the community calendar, let me know by sending us an email at cc@kzfr.org. This is the KZFR 90.1 FM community calendar.
My name is Megan Gaddis, and I am the resource developer for the Arc of Butte County. The Arc of Butte County is our local chapter of a nationally recognized 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides services to individuals with autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and other intellectual and developmental disabilities, as well as support to their families. KZFR local radio and media has always made a significant impact when it comes to educating our community about what we do, who we help, and how community members can get involved. We are teaching adults with disabilities how to live independently. We are providing education, resources, and temporary care for individuals who need around-the-clock assistance. Our services are keeping families together and out of harm's way. Local community radio has helped educate our community on who we are and what we do. The Arc of Butte County is enhancing the quality of life for special needs children and adults through inclusion, education, and advocacy. We simply cannot do it alone, and KZFR is the perfect vehicle for the ARC to engage with our community and ask for help. To learn more about the ARC of Butte County, what we do, and how you can help, please visit our website at www.arcbutte.org, or you can email me directly, megangaddis@arcbutte.org. I would love to hear from you.
Go to kzfr.org to support and donate. Keep your favorite community radio station live and local. KZFR's pledge drive. You can donate at kzfr.org.
You can call in at 601-340-KZFR. So, but the kzfr.org is definitely the preferred method these days. So, beautiful day, sun's out, a little blustery, drying out, getting ready for the next wave of liquid sunshine, as they call it up in Seattle. Alrighty, I'll be coming back in, of course, during pledge drive, but we'll let a couple of roll. Again, fun show, kind of classic 83, but got some things in there that I think you'll enjoy, and a couple songs I don't often play, so think that's good enough. We do got some pretty cool new